Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, here with the first episode I'm releasing that's being recorded on my new Blue Yeti microphone. I wanted to give a big shout out to Ari, one of my fantastic patrons, who I actually met in person, not from the podcast. And he's the one who kind of pointed me in the direction of this deal. So thank you again. So this episode is kind of special because I am going to be going over something that I've been getting a lot of questions about because I have a big announcement to make. My patrons already know about this and some assorted people do. You may have guessed from some of my social media. I am working on the Anti-Fragile Oracle deck. So the big question that follows that with a lot of people is, what's an oracle deck? Yeah, I mainly focus on tarot. I tend to prefer it because I love the structure of tarot. I think that it is extremely useful. I think that the structure of it is very well suited to working with archetypes, working with psychology. So let's go into a brief thing. Tarot decks are a 78 card or at minimum a 22 card majors only deck. A tarot deck is 78 cards with the 22 major arcana and the 56 minor arcana. Those 56 minor arcana are organized into four suits, and each of those four suits has four court cards. That is the basic structure that you need for a tarot deck. Even the most radical reimaginings of tarot decks have commonalities. The journey of the majors is essentially the same across different tarot decks. The structure of the minors is essentially the same. Yes, you can have some very, very major changes. Some of the Toth-based decks will swap strength and justice. Some modern decks will swap some of the names of some of the majors. I believe in the Next World Tarot, for instance, the Tower is Revolution. There's also decks like the Tarot of the Silicon Dawn, where you have the elements swapped for wands and pentacles. Wands are earth and pentacles are fire. So you can do all of those things. You can make these radical changes in tarot, but the underlying structure is essentially the same, no matter what kind of crazy things you're doing. You can rename the suits. You can rename some of the cards. You can change some of the significances, but it's still a tarot deck because it still follows that. This may be an unpopular opinion at this point because there are a lot of decks that are called tarot decks that do not follow this structure. I personally think that you need to have at least 78 cards and at least the structure to be considered a tarot deck. Otherwise, I think it falls more squarely under the umbrella of Oracle. I know that there's a few decks that are tarot decks by style. The Illuminated Tarot is one of them. It's 56 or 58 cards. There's this one deck called the Daemon Tarot that, as far as I can tell, is really an oracle deck. It doesn't seem to follow any of the structure. But to me, you need to follow at least that. You can add some extra cards. I know the Toth decks have some extra Fool cards. The Tarot of the Silicon Dawn has all these amazing extras, including a 99 of each suit. You can listen to my interview with Margaret Troth, Egypt Darnash, a few months back for some more information on that deck. But even though her deck has so many extra cards, it still follows this structure. Oracle decks, on the other hand, there's no defined structure or defined rules for oracle decks. Oh, another thing with tarot, I kind of want to come back to this because this ties into what I'm about to say about oracle decks. Tarot decks are, and again, this is sort of a potentially unpopular opinion. I think that tarot decks are best utilized when you pay attention to the actual card meanings. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use your intuition. A card that looks very negative or looks very positive can really change based on context, or you might have some insight into a situation, whether that's intellectual insight, knowing more about the situation, or intuitive insight. What feeling are you getting from it? That being said, I personally don't understand why someone who is primarily an intuitive or self-styled psychic reader would use a system as defined and structured as tarot when oracle decks exist. Again, I'm not knocking anyone's practice. I'm not trying to be elitist about this, but I do think that tarot functions best when you have at least some very basic knowledge of the card meanings and the card structure. I was kind of Googling myself recently, and I came across a blog post by someone who listens to me who took a small issue with my describing my way of reading as telling you what the pretty pictures on the cards say. I want to let you know, just on the record, I say that as a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, because I have spent the last 13 years now, no, I'm sorry, the last 17 years reading tarot cards. I do not claim to be an expert on astrology and numerology and ceremonial magic and Kabbalah and a lot of the other things that are present in the symbolism of tarot decks, particularly one as, thoughtfully illustrated as the Smith-Waite, Rider-Waite, Rider-Waite Smith, or a lot of other decks that have very careful attention to the different occult significance behind the cards. Again, I don't claim to be an expert in these things, but I'm always learning and deepening my practice, and there are things that are really helpful to know and understand when you're reading the cards. I often describe it as reading the pretty pictures because I am trying to convey that I'm not presenting a psychic reading. I'm not presenting a purely intuitive reading. I'm reading the symbols on the cards, which are the pretty pictures. I'm reading the significance of those specific cards, and I am reading the story of the cards because tarot is such a story-driven medium, especially if you're using a pictorial deck like the Rider-Waite. Thoth, Tarot de Marseille, some more other decks that are more pip-based for their minors, such as the Kowai Tarot. You can read those with a knowledge of the Rider-Waite, but Tarot de Marseille in particular is more numerology based as opposed to some of the other symbolism in the Rider-Waite. Anyway, sorry, it's not an Antifragile Tarot podcast without some tangents. But that's the beauty of oracle cards. Oracle cards, again, there's no structure, there's no meaning, there's no set significance, there's not necessarily a larger occult knowledge behind them. Some oracle cards that you may be familiar with are angel cards. Angel cards are often very popular among the more Christian inclined readers among us who may find tarot to be too scary, too linked to the occult, may view it as demonic, but angel cards are, they're angels. They're angel cards in particular are usually non-threatening. There's usually not a lot of negative imagery in oracle decks. Well, okay, in angel cards. Oracle decks in general, I think, tend to skew a little more positive. There are a lot of modern oracle decks that are not necessarily more positive. But on the whole, I think that oracle decks tend to skew more positive, more neutral, as opposed to tarot, which has the gamut of positive, negative, neutral, major, minor, all that good stuff. And that's again part of why I tend to like tarot so much. I tend to find it more multidimensional than Oracle decks. Tend to. We're getting there. Most Oracle decks, again, this is a generalization. Most Oracle decks don't necessarily have a guidebook. They don't have, because they don't have set meanings, because they're meant to be read so much more intuitively. You really can go based off of your instincts and your perception of the cards. I always like it when I talk to readers who say that they found that they were reading tarot so much more intuitively and so much more, you know, maybe they're psychic or you know, whatever. They found that they weren't reading the meanings of the tarot cards. They were reading their own stuff into it. So they decided to drop tarot and switch to Oracle cards, which is something I fully support. I feel like if you're going to be using tarot, you should be using the meanings. And you don't need to be an expert to do that. You can absolutely use your deck with a guidebook. You can use your deck with some help. But, you know, you should still be sticking to what the cards actually are supposed to mean. Whereas with Oracle decks, you know, there's so many options out there. I have a very limited selection of Oracle decks. I don't know that I consider Lenormand an Oracle. It's certainly an Oracle in the sense that it's not Tarot, but like Tarot, Lenormand also has a very set structure. And in some ways, I think that the Lenormand cards have even more rigid meanings than Tarot cards. You're not supposed to look at a Lenormand card and read into it intuitively at all. You're supposed to be sticking to that meaning. Of course, your intuition comes into play when you're figuring out what these cards mean altogether. But you're really supposed to be sticking to keywords with Lenormand and not looking at things on Lenormand cards like the directionality of the characters or whether there's a mean look on the face of the dog in the dog card. The dog is loyalty. Dog is friendship. You should decide if that's a positive or a negative thing based on the other cards around it. Nothing to do with the specific things on that card. So in that way, I don't find that Lenormand or Kipper cards are Oracle decks in that way. They're just another very defined system. I don't have very many Oracle decks. In fact, I only have two that I purchased for myself. I have the 40 Servants, which is very special. Again, you can listen to my piece on the 40 Servants. I have a deck review of it, and I talk about the 40 Servants extensively. And I, you know, mention them in my practice quite a bit. I also have the Amethyst Oracle by Jessica Bott. She did the Idiosyncra deck. I really wanted the Idiosyncra deck. I think part of it was a limited edition hype. It was kind of a big thing on Tumblr for a while. And I really love the art on it. I think it's absolutely beautiful. It just didn't click with me. I just didn't really enjoy reading with it. I didn't love the miners. And for me, I need to really enjoy the miners because I find them to be such an essential part of a deck. If I don't think that the miners are really interesting and cool, I just have a lot of trouble reading with a deck. So I wound up giving the Idiosyncra deck to a friend who really wanted the Idiosyncra deck. They saw it online and really wanted it, but it's out of print and it's hard to find. So I wound up giving that to that friend, and I also gave them the Amethyst Oracle that went along with it. The Amethyst Oracle is in the same vector-based art style, looks very, very similar, but it's not tarot. My friend did not love the Oracle deck, so I wound up taking it back. I haven't used it very recently. Maybe I'll try to incorporate it more. Something that I'm not going to get the chance to talk about anytime soon, although I will probably update you on the results of it later. I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone a bit more with some of my spiritual practices. So I will I'll definitely do an episode on that in a couple months. We'll see how all of this goes. So I took that deck back. I have the 40 Servants, and I have the Animal Spirit Oracle by Kim Kranz, who did the Wild Unknown Tarot, which is wildly popular. But that deck was a gift. A good friend gave it to me for my birthday, and, you know, I always have some trouble when my friends give me decks because I don't want to seem unappreciative, but they're often not decks that are on my wish list at all. They're not decks I would have picked up for myself. Sometimes this works out really well. For instance, the Cat Tarot that my husband picked up for me for my graduation gift was a really nice find. I would never have bothered to pick it up myself because I already have a cat deck and I don't tend to love a lot of cat decks. But I actually really, really enjoy it. The Animal Spirit Oracle is kind of like that. Although the Animal Spirit Oracle is slightly less intuitive than a lot of Oracle decks. It has a very fleshed out guidebook. I think you could read it as a regular deck. Like, I don't think you need to do all of the guidebook things. But I also think that it benefits greatly from the guidebook. So that's something to think about with the Animal Spirit Oracle in particular. And Oracle decks can really just be what you make of them. You know, there's Oracle decks for all sorts of things. There's a lot of botanical oracles out there that focus on the different properties of plants. You have Oracle decks that are specifically crystals, so you can kind of get the meaning of the crystals without having the actual crystals, which is kind of nice because crystal mining is super problematic. Again, I don't have a ton of examples of Oracle cards for you because I don't normally use them. I've definitely seen some really funny Oracle decks out there. There's one where it's all kind of sassy sayings with very sassy looking femme-coded characters. You also have some Oracle decks that are specifically time, date, season-based. Again, Jessica Bott, I believe, the one who did the Idiosyncra deck and the Amethyst Oracle, she has a deck out there that is, you know, different colors for spring and summer and Monday and nighttime and what have you. So, you know, that kind of thing can be very useful for some readers. It's not usually something that I find useful. So I was just kind of, I've just kind of been thinking. I have been talking to a friend of mine, Corey Siegenthaler. You can find her as Jezebel Locked, JezebelLocked on social media. And I adore her art. She's one of the people who I patronize on Patreon. And she's also just a rad human being. And I've been, you know, chatting with her about doing a tarot deck for a while, kind of, you know, I could be the weight to her Smith, so to speak. But, you know, that's a lot of work, 78 cards and doing a tarot deck the way that we both would like it to be done. That's some commitment right there. So that's really something you need to think about. Whereas Oracle decks are a significantly less monumental undertaking. Again, they can be anything. There's no set number of cards for an Oracle deck. My initial thought was 25, but in chatting with a card publishing company, they would have had to tack on an extra fee for special cutting a box for a smaller deck. So if I just do a 36 card deck, I guess they've gotten enough the Norman decks that they've decided 36 is a good number. It's a little cheaper, and I like cheaper. So I decided, you know what, I'll do a slightly larger deck, maybe have a couple extra cards with explanations, thank yous, all that good stuff. I'm not a visual artist primarily, which I think is something else that makes Oracle decks very appealing, because unlike tarot, where the symbolism can be a little intimidating, and, you know, for me, I really like fully illustrated minors. I'm sure you've heard me use this term a few times if you've been listening to the podcast for a while. Sorry, that was my watch bugging me to move if you heard a beep. I like fully illustrated minors. I think that they are really, really essential for beginning readers or anyone who primarily uses pictorial minors. Oracle decks don't have to be that ornate. I mean, they can be. The Amethyst Oracle and the 40 Servants are incredible art pieces. But Oracle decks can be more abstract. They can be more sketch-based if you want them to be. And I kind of like that. So I have some ideas for cards because my bent is slightly cynical, slightly tongue-in-cheek. Some of my cards are going to be a little bit more difficult or prickly or negative than I think some Oracle decks that I've seen, but certainly not unduly so, and I'm definitely working on some more positive and uplifting messages as well. And I have an art style that I haven't seen a lot of Oracle decks with, or tarot decks for that matter. It's going to be a black background and rainbow. I'm still debating how I want to do it. I kind of like the idea of all of the cards being drawn in rainbow. So I'm going to keep playing around with stuff. I have a Wacom tablet that a good friend lent me. And I will be working with another good friend who's getting into tarot, who is primarily a teacher, calligrapher, artist, all-around amazing human. And I'm going to be working with him to get a little more familiar with the Wacom tablet. So stay tuned here and stay tuned on my social media channels for more information about the Anti-Fragile Oracle as it starts to come to life. When I'm ready, I will definitely be releasing a Kickstarter or a something like that, some kind of crowdfunding thing to get it produced. It's going to be a limited run, so you'll definitely want to get on it if it's something that is important to you to get. And I think it's going to be really nice. So we're going to see how that goes. I'll also probably be doing it print to order on the Game Crafter. So if you miss the limited run that I'm doing, you'll still be able to order it. So, you know, and that's another thing to consider, right? Where you're getting your Oracle decks from. There are Oracle decks from all the major tarot distributors. So Llewellyn and Hay House and all those things, there are Oracle decks that you can find from there. So, you know, if you look on Amazon for Oracle decks, you'll find a million things. But if you're interested in supporting smaller artists, and I hope you are, and you probably are because you're listening to my podcast and I am an absolute nobody, you can find so many cool decks on Etsy. Now, again, I'm not primarily a psychic reader. I'm not primarily an Oracle card reader. So I don't spend a lot of time looking at Oracle decks. But every once in a while, I pop onto Etsy and I see things that really intrigue me and make me rethink my position on Oracle decks. You know, again, you can not only find Oracle decks for a lot of different things, although perhaps not as many different subsets as tarot, because tarot is just such an attractive format. You know, you already have so much built into it that it's really nice to play with. But, you know, the other thing with Oracle cards as well is that you can create the Oracle deck you want to see in the world, and you don't have to be beholden to trying to figure out how to make a square fandom peg fit into a round tarot hole. It's usually pretty easy to do, honestly, because of the depth of tarot and the breadth of experiences and feelings and archetypes expressed in tarot. You can usually find some pretty good parallels in whatever fandom or genre or experience or interest that you're looking to do. You know, there's a baseball tarot, there's a Halloween tarot, there's a multitude of cat tarots, there's plenty of official and unofficial fandom ones. So there's the Vertigo tarot, there's a Welcome to Night Vale tarot, there's the DC tarot. There's probably several more that I'm not even mentioning, and I'm not even getting into fan-made tarot decks. But the you know, the nice thing with Oracle decks is you can really, really have some fun with making them and doing that for yourself. My friend Delia Stanley, who designed my logo and runs our little secret witchy group on Facebook, she has for a long time now been making these little cards that she's been sending to some members of the group. And I have some that I often put on my table when I'm doing readings. Some of the cards she's made have included Apple, because I love Eris and apples are important to Eris. I have the others. I have the part that won't fit. The part that won't heal. I think it's the part that won't heal. I have Hungry Vampire. I have an intuition one from her as well. It's very, very sunny. I think there's a rainbow happening. It's very cute. And those little cards, those are Oracle cards. And they're great. You know, I don't think I actually finished that thought. Sorry. But another thing with Oracle, too, is it doesn't have to be as limited to the number of cards as Tarot does. You could have a 10-card Oracle deck. You could have a 60-card Oracle deck. As I said, mine is going to be about 33. I really wanted it to be 23 or 25 because of the Law of Fives and Eris and Fnord. But 33 is a good number, too. So we're going to go with that. And I'm really excited to be working on an Oracle deck and flexing some of my visual art muscles that haven't gotten a lot of love in the last, 2 decades. I kind of got shoved into my mother's idea of what she wanted me to be into, and she did not want me to be in visual arts. She wanted me to be a writer. She wanted me to be a tarot card reader. And I am both of those things. But I also do other stuff. And it's nice to be exploring that. It's nice to be getting out of my comfort zone. You know, again, I love tarot. I will always primarily be a tarot card reader. I really, as much as I believe in tarot, and I've got air quotes going on for that, I also really believe in the structure of tarot. I think it's extremely useful, and it doesn't have to be a belief. It doesn't have to be faith-based. It can absolutely be psychologically based. So that's why I continue to enjoy tarot. So I'm not abandoning tarot. I'm not moving towards a more psychic or even necessarily a more intuitive way of reading, but you know, it's good to try new things. I've made an episode or two and you know, kind of about that. It's good to try new things. It's good to stretch your muscles. And I also really enjoy incorporating Oracle cards into tarot card readings, particularly when I am doing a reading at a big event and I tend to do them very, very quickly. I speak quickly. I've been reading the cards for so long. I have such a good familiarity with them that I can look at 3 cards, 5 cards. I can look at a Celtic cross and summarize it for you in a few sentences. I don't need to go into each and every card. And when I'm doing a 10-minute reading I do 5-minute readings. When I'm doing a 5-minute reading at an event, I am going to err on the side of being a little quicker. Sometimes I draw a card from the bottom of the tarot card deck, especially if it's a reading that needs some clarification. But it's also really nice to end a reading with an Oracle card because, you know, for me, I prefer the structure of tarot. I can intuit into the cards, again, because I have this almost 2 decades of familiarity with them. But most of the people I'm reading for don't have that. So for them, having something like an Oracle card that's a little bit more immediately relatable than a lot of tarot can be, something that's a lot more intuition-based, you know, a lot more reading into it, what you see into it, instead of viewing it as this very esoteric piece of symbolism that requires a lot of study, that can be more immediately helpful sometimes than the whole tarot card reading I did, because the person getting it is getting a more immediate sense of recognition. So that's something I really like to do with Oracle cards. I guess I'll be playing with more Oracle cards and seeing what comes my way, seeing how that all works out. So if anyone has any Oracle card suggestions for me, let me know. I will say that I personally stay away from Doreen Virtue cards. I am in no way telling anyone else that they should stay away from them. A lot of people are familiar with her angel cards, her goddess cards. I do find a lot of the goddess cards to be pretty culturally appropriative. So I tread very lightly on a lot of goddess-themed oracles. Not all of them are bad. There's that goddess tarot that's been floating around for a while by Chris something. My friend Kat reads with that deck. I think that's a pretty good deck. I don't think it's especially appropriative. I think that it's pretty sensitive and pretty well-researched. But Doreen Virtue's goddess decks, not so much. There's also a lot of controversy with her. She's always kind of been a little Christian, a little New Age, but she recently denounced all of her decks, especially the tarot decks, as evil, and says that she's going to donate any future proceeds from them to Christian causes and all of that. I find her whole vibe very suspect. I don't particularly care to support her. Again, I am in no way trying to suggest that anyone who gets a lot of meaning out of working with her cards should not read with them. I have friends who use them. I have friends who are very comfortable with them. Sometimes that's because their relatives use them or other people they've gone to get readings from use them. Please don't read this as a criticism of what works for you. Just don't suggest that I read with them, because I'm not gonna. But if you have any oracle deck suggestions for me, please let me know. I would love to take a look at them. If you're local to me, I'd love to meet up and, you know, we can share some decks and take a look at them and work with them. Yeah, that's pretty much what I got for you today. If you have any more questions on oracle decks, please let me know. I can answer via email, and I can even make an Instagram or Facebook post about it so you have some more info. I guess we're going to get to the how you can support this podcast portion of the podcast. So I have a big event coming up. I actually have two events coming up. If you are local to Jersey City, on Saturday, October 14th, I will be doing a block party for the Liberty Harbor Association. Stay tuned to my social media channels for some more information on that. And then Sunday, October 13th, is our next big Jersey City Oddities Market at the Harborside Atrium. I will definitely be promoting that, but if you go to the Jersey City Oddities Market, JC Oddities, or JC Oddities Market on different sites, JC Oddities Market on Instagram and Facebook, you'll get a lot more info on that. It's going to be really, really great. I will be dueling with our resident magician. I'm the resident card slinger, and I guess he slings cards too, but not the same way I do. I'm still getting him in on the podcast soon for an interview, but that's going to be in a little bit. Still need to meet up with him. So yeah, if you can come to those events, I'll be reading at those events. They're going to be great. But another great way to support me is to be a patron of mine on Patreon. I am Anti-Fragile Tarot on Patreon. $1 a month gets you access to my Discord, gets you a discount on readings on my Etsy, and you get the podcast released a day early to you. I just started doing that, so I failed to do it for my last episode, but I'm going to get better about it. I promise. I say every month as I push my readings. If you are a $20 a month patron on Patreon, you can get monthly readings from me. And even $5 and $10, you start earning bigger readings. You know, you can redeem for some other readings from you, two to three a year, basically, at those, or 2 to 4 a year at those levels for $5 and $10. If you can't do even $1 a month, I totally get it. I've been there. You can buy a one-off reading from me on my Etsy. I am Anti-Fragile Tarot on Etsy. I have readings there for all budgets. I have an animal spirit oracle reading and a 40 servants reading. And I have more traditional tarot card readings as well. I'll be adding some new offerings to my Etsy soon. I need to add in some decks. I have more decks that I use. I might take out some of the other decks. So stay tuned. I also really enjoy getting emails. A few people who've been listening to the podcast have been emailing me lately and letting them know how meaningful it is to them. And I really cannot overstate to you how meaningful it is to me to get those emails that what I'm doing means something to you. I really had no vision when I started this podcast, and I suppose I don't really have a vision when I record any of them either, but I didn't expect this to grow into something that is meaningful for so many people, and I'm really touched by it, and I really love chatting with people and hearing your stories and chatting about the best way to go about things. So, or maybe not the best way, because I don't know if I'm doing the best way, but my way of going about things or what works for you. So emailing me is a totally free thing you can do to let me know that you appreciate this podcast. And I'm always open to suggestions about what to talk about or who to try to interview. I've been reaching out to some bigger names in tarot for interviews. I'm not getting a lot of luck, but, you know, closed mouth don't get fed. So I'm going to keep trying. Another free thing that you can do to help me out is be my follower on things. Follow me on Instagram. I'm Antifragile Tarot. Follow me on Facebook. I'm Antifragile Tarot on there as well. I am Antifragile Card on Twitter, although I don't use Twitter as much as I could, maybe for my own sanity. But if you follow me on Facebook and Instagram, leaving comments, sharing my posts, that kind of stuff means a lot. It means a lot in terms of visibility for me. It reminds me that people are actually paying some attention to what I'm doing. That's a totally free thing you can do that really does have an actual impact on my business. Stay tuned. I will be doing some giveaways on my Instagram and Facebook. So please make sure that you follow me on there. I will be doing two giveaways, one around Halloween and one around Christmas. Well, Christmas, Yule, Hanukkah, winter holidays. Yeah, no, the whole thing. So thank you again for listening, whether this is your first episode or you've been along for the whole ride or somewhere in the middle. A special shout out to my Patreon patrons. I really appreciate all of your support, and all of those donations go directly to this podcast and other ventures I'm doing. You know, 1 month of my combined Patreon earnings paid for this microphone I'm using right now, my podcast hosting, and of course the time and energy it takes to record these things and do all this stuff. So thank you again so much. I really appreciate you. I will be back mid-month with an interview. Take care. Bye. Have a witchy and or wonderful week.